sunshine, little over, liver, liver.
Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. This is KVNF's gardening show. My name is Jill. I am your host with two fabulous gardeners here, Lulu and Lance. Good evening, worms.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, exciting time of the year. The air just feels so great, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's so fabulous. It was warm, though, today
and last night.
Warm, and then those cool nights and that big old super moon out there.
Yeah.
The blood moon. That was so cool.
Yeah, I love the vibe that gave off. And, you know, you go out there in the garden when it's dark and that moon comes up, it's a kind of a special place to be.
It's special all day long. The light
is
so amazing now.
Yeah, great time
of the year. When that golden light comes through and everything is backlit, oh, it's just beautiful.
Perfect. And what's still, I'm going to give the phone numbers because this is a live show. I don't think anybody realizes that. Yeah, we don't practice.
We're winging it.
We're winging it.
Let me tell you, we are flying by the seat of our pants.
That's right. And Jeff is in the control room to take your call, 527-486-8 or 1-866-KVNF now. And let's just start because it was Mountain Harvest Festival this weekend up here in Paonia. And what is harvesting all kinds of stuff?
I have a whole list of stuff.
Yeah. Let's hear some of that.
Okay.
We're all laughing.
We only have 28 minutes left.
Right. Okay. Go, Lance.
All right.
Go,
peas, potatoes, kale, lettuce, spinach, carrots, daikons, beets, cilantro, basil, parsley, raspberries, grapes, apples, corn on Saturday, the field corn on Saturday, squash after the first frost, tomatoes and peppers and cabbage. And then I just wrote something down that late planted pintos. They're drying out, so that's probably about 2 weeks I'll get those.
Wow, everything just coming right on.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out what the priority is.
It is. Yes. It's hard to keep up.
Sometimes I don't sleep. I wake up at 1:32. How am I going to do this?
Yeah.
That's why the universe gave you that big super moon, Lance.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can be out there.
No.
All right. Yeah. Hard to prioritize. And what are you doing, Lulu? What are you, you harvest and usually put something up or make something.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been making and putting and just doing everything. Let's see. I did kale. I did currants. I had elderberries today. Look, most of it came off. Elderberries. Let's see. The plums are ready. The apples are, I don't even know if they're worth it. There's so many that fell off the tree already. But anyway, I'll get some. A couple of pears are left. Let's see.
Wow.
Broccoli, parsley, sage, rosemary, thyme. I'm not kidding, really.
Sage.
Yeah, that was perfect. For real. Just grapes. I mean...
Speaking of which,
everything.
We've got some beautiful variety of grapes here, Lance. Yeah. What are these? Three different kinds.
The three different kinds. One's an old-fashioned one called Delaware. Mm-hmm. It has seeds in it. The other one's called Swenson. That also has seeds in it. But, when they breed things to be seedless, you lose flavor. You lose something.
You lose something.
These ones with seeds are incredible flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one... and I think that is a Suffolk Red.
Suffolk Red.
Suffolk Red. Oh. And it's a seedless and it's
yummy.
It's late.
All of them different.
I think you're right. I think that one that gets confused with a Reliance is not a Reliance.
No, it's a
Suffolk
Red.
It's a minor, completely different color.
My Suffolk Red is the same color as that. And
these are a little light green, light pinkish red.
The Reliance were actually... ready about a month ago.
Oh, so yeah, Reliance is an earlier grape.
We have two different gardens.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, two different gardens.
Yep.
Then I have one more type of grape that they're really fragrant, so it's fun to walk around the garden, and that's Niagara's.
Oh, and are those ripe for harvesting?
Yes, they're ripe.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. Jan from Gunnison's going to come down. She likes to make wine out of them.
Nice.
So, all right. We're going to make wine also.
Wine crop.
But, here's the thing, too, about the seeds. I mean, that's grape seed.
Yeah.
It's hugely beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong with eating the seeds? Nothing.
No.
Nothing wrong. Mm-mm. Yeah.
I keep a stash of seeded grapes in the freezer in the winter where I live when I'm teaching skiing, just so that I have that.
The nutrients or yeah, whatever.
That nutrition. Yeah, the grape mm-hmm. seed.
Okay.
Great
you know,
idea.
So I can ingest that, you know, regularly.
Yeah. Seems like whatever. Those would be good on oatmeal or something like that.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Give something a little texture.
Yeah.
Because I like the way they kind of crunch softly.
Well, they're really, I don't have a problem with them. But I'll tell you what I did the other day. You guys are going to love this. I was doing my classic peanut butter and jelly roll-up thing, right? And I didn't have any jelly. So I just took the grapes.
Nice.
I took the whole grape and put it in the roll-up and rolled it up. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. I will never make grape jam again.
Nice.
Mm-mm.
We're going to get you an almond tree, and then you can just almonds and berries like almond butter.
Oh, yeah.
Mama churning out there.
Yeah. Mama throwing it in the food processor is what's
right.
going to happen. You know.
Nice. Well, great grapes and nice raspberries. You just have a prolific raspberry crop up there.
Yeah, that's the fall bliss.
Fall bliss,
and
yeah.
It starts going in late July,
blissful.
Early August, and goes till frost.
Wow, that's fabulous. I like raspberries. And, you know, I've noticed that the birds are eating the berries because my back porch has been dive bombed with blue dots of bird poop.
Blue bird poop, right?
All over the place, yeah.
Yeah, they're having a field day. They were in the tree a couple of days ago out behind the house, and it was the starlings, I guess, and they mm-hmm. were
yeah.
doing all the imitation of all the noises that they hear around town.
Oh, wow.
And you have to laugh. I mean, you hear, they'll bark like the dogs, the local dogs. They'll make a noise like the train whistle. I mean, they it's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. My ears are open for the starlings now that you mentioned
yeah,
that, because
yeah,
I've never heard that.
No, just listen
not listening
to them.
For it, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
When you know, when they're all up there and they're really making a lot of racket, you just, like,
tune in,
you know, and you'll hear cats meowing, dogs barking. We had one in Carbondale used to crack me up. It was my screen door on the back porch used to slam, or the front porch, whatever, front door, had this certain way that it squeaked and then slammed. And this bird was making the exact, you know. You're going, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
All right. I'm going to watch for that. That's
sounds
awesome.
Of fall.
Yes, yeah, sounds of fall.
The sounds
there
of
you
fall.
Go. Stuff's still blooming, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going lots of flowers.
Lots of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Zinnias and calendulas. Calendulas really like this kind of weather.
Yeah.
Oh, the calendulas are beautiful.
Just, yeah.
Oh, and I found a really good combination. Red valerian. In with the calendula.
Ooh.
Oh, for
and that's gorgeous.
Vase.
And it's just flowering, and it's that, you know, pinky, reddy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just happy. It's beautiful. and then there's Cupid's dart, that silly little plant.
That
I don't know
good.
What that one is.
That's,
I'd know it if I saw it.
Mm-hmm. You would. It looks like a straw flower, you know, or like it's, or kind of, no, it doesn't. It looks like a straw flower,
mm-hmm.
and it's like that. You know, it's kind of real dry and brittle
okay.
and stuff. And it grows in the most nasty place ever. I mean, the
nice.
The nastier the dirt, the more it likes it. You
oh,
know?
Great. I've got plenty of
that's probably
places
breaking
in
up the soil. That's
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then it has these beautiful, and they're kind of like a chicory flower, but they don't sit on the plant like a chicory flower,
mm-hmm.
and they're not that chicory blue, but they're like a purpley chicory blue.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Really cool.
Sounds gorgeous.
I'll bring some in next week.
Chicory.
Oh, I know. I love chicory.
Yeah. The I was just thinking of.
And that's blooming.
Yes, chicory's still blooming.
Mm-hmm.
The Maximilian sunflower's blooming.
Mm.
But one that we don't see too often here is the fall crocus.
Right, fall crocus.
Right, I forgot about
some
those.
Crazy things we've seen this year, and fall crocus out there.
Yeah, fall crocus, and is the people that I work for, there's like three houses that have just like five of them. And it's they're related to saffron. Saffron mm-hmm. it actually is a fall crocus. And if you really wanted to get into it, this saffron, we had the perfect climate for saffron crocus here in the Norfolk
oh,
Valley.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if you could make money with that. I bet you could.
Saffron is...
If you planted an acre of it, you could.
Yeah, and then if you got around, walked around the acre on your knees, grabbing all the little pollens.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of meticulous work that goes on in this valley. I think that you can get out there and meditate for...
Oh, yeah. You can just tune right out, boy. Yeah. I'll tell you what. No trouble there.
We need some people tuning in at 527-486-8166, KVNF Now. Tell us what went well in your garden. And, Lance, you had some things that you'd probably do differently next year.
Oh, yeah. I had what I see now as mistakes. And just trying things out. And, you know, it's like, it was okay, but it didn't really work. And one was... I had some extra space in the middle of all the beds, and so I planted five rows of beans there. Well, dry beans don't need water, so that was the first thing. They were getting too much water from the sprinklers, and then when the plants in the beds got too tall, it was blocking the water to get into the outside of those the other side of the beds.
Oh.
So I had to go down each one of those beds and hand water, and I've been doing that every day for 6 weeks.
Yeah, that might be something to
change. It's just a little time. So, yeah. And so that was one thing that I did that it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to have beds and rows, the row is going to be on the very outside. It's not going to be in the middle. So then I only have to deal with one
side
instead of two. And I have to go around. I can't. Yeah.
So, placement issue there.
Right? Yeah, and then the other one was the squash was planted right next to the tomatoes and pole beans. And it's not that they didn't grow and stuff, but to get to the tomatoes, I was walking on top of the squash vines.
Yeah.
So I had that problem, too. Yeah. And, oh, you know what
What's
I did?
What's going on with your
squash? My squash vines and my tomatoes. Okay, so I got scared. I really did. I swear to God. I thought... You know, if I die under these bushes, nobody is ever going to find me. I mean, so I cut all the leaves off. I cut them all off. They're bald, and they're doing great. Everything's ripening.
This is the squash?
No, the tomatoes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And the squash are just, oh, my God, I can't even deal. I mean, I just don't. I'm just, yeah, they're
giant,
huge.
Well, that's
20-pound squash.
Ooh,
I'll bring
pound.
One in. We'll have a contest to see who can guess. We'll give the measurements and
there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be fun.
Yeah. And the spaghetti squash, the spaghetti squash. I don't know who invented spaghetti squash, but they had a sense of humor, right? So they're everywhere. And what some of them are like those green ones with the little spots, like they cross bread with a watermelon, but I don't have any watermelon.
Well, spaghetti squash will cross with any of your zucchinis, delicatas, acorns, because they're all in the same variety called pepos.
Yeah.
And all the pepos will cross. Even some your pumpkins are pepos, and even some of the gourds.
And you could get some crazy stuff.
I planted only delicatas this year as far as that kind of squash, and I have perfectly round little pumpkins with delicata stripes on them.
Okay.
Fine.
Where did that come from?
Right.
I'm still going to eat it.
Yeah, what a surprise. That's great.
Well, I had yellow squash, spaghetti squash, butter. I always get nut and cup. Butternut and pumpkin.
Uh-huh.
And the spaghetti squash, and they're huge.
Yeah.
They're like the size of a watermelon. They're back there.
Nice.
They're all happy, you know. Everything's really happy.
Yeah, just leave them on. And I'm going to try a delicata the next few days just to see if it's good enough. I usually wait till after frost, but it's late enough.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. And so do you still have melons out?
No.
Melons are done.
Mm-hmm. And my yellow squash is having a second coming of the Lord. I don't know what it's thinking. I don't know where I'm going to put them.
Happy.
I'm telling you. And the marjoram. Okay, so the only way to eat yellow squash is with marjoram. I'm convinced.
Oh, really? Oh. Well, how do you cook that up?
Well, any way you want, you know. But
just
bake it, fry it, slice it.
Uh-huh.
You know, too much butter, too much marjoram, you're in.
There you go.
There you go. It's perfect.
I got a good yellow squash seed crop at another garden up on Redlands. I was up there today, and it's a golden zucchini. And there's going to be enough seed for 5-10 years.
Oh, my goodness. Nice.
You know, right. that's I like that one. I think that's my all-time favorite. Mm-hmm. I did a crinkly skin one, but the skin stays soft.
Okay.
And it's good, you know, but I think that yellow zucchini is the bomb. Mm-hmm. I think that's the
favorite.
God's own answer to yellow squash is it's the yellow zucchini.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, 527-486-8186, KVNF now. And what's going on with the compost pile, Lance?
I'm now not making actual official compost piles to me that I actually turn.
Right.
People get this confused when they see my garden. I have these two big bins. They're 5 feet high, and they're made out of slab wood, 5 feet high, and they're 8 feet deep, and they're 14 feet long. And they're technically just storage for carbon. All the waste products from the garden. And and when I want to make compost, I pull out that, mix it with manure in front of there, and then turn it there. That's actually what I'm... But this time of year, I'm not going to make any of those kind of piles. And I'll take all the waste products from the garden, and I will layer it with horse manure or any type of manure I can get. And I throw all my gray water, all the water from scrubbing the vegetables and stuff, get thrown back on that.
Nice.
And I'll fill that up. And then the front, since it's open, what I eventually do is put bales of hay in front because I want to get it high. And it will get big, really big. I'll take all the corn stalks and I'll shred them. I'll shred all the sunflower stalks. I'll shred all the raspberry stalks, go in there. Everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All your garden waste.
Yeah. And then even the mud on my shoes.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I got the rototiller started. I have this little tiny rototiller, and it is such a bear to start. Oh, my God. So anyway, I got it started, and I rototilled the chicken yard and rototilled all the...
all the manure?
All the chicken poop and all the bedding from their roosts in. And now I'm going to water it. And then my compost, then I have a really small compost bin. It's right on the border of the size it needs to be to, you know, actually get hot and cook,
right? Yeah.
And it's four-sided and it hangs out and the chickens go in there and they work it and the worms all live in the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah, and so it works out pretty well. But I just can't get over how I load that thing up and 2 days later, it's
flat.
It's flat. Yeah, it's the worms and between the worms and the chickens, it's
just working it.
Yeah, just working.
Nice
it. Working it.
I harvested all my potatoes, and so I had like 6 inches still left of mulch that I all pulled off. So that's that. Right now, that's what's mainly the whole compost thing now. But it's settling already. I did this weekend and just throwing water, and it's already starting. You can smell it. It's starting to cook a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you let it sit all winter?
I'll start making compost depending on when I can get the old 66 Dodge down to the manure pile in February or March.
Oh, wow. That's early.
Yeah.
Roll it down and then
it's getting it out of my driveway.
Yes.
You know, with those good brand new old tires.
Right.
Brand new old tires, right.
Perfect. Well, I don't know. You know, it's an amazing thing that you just can put so much down on the dirt and then it just goes away.
It becomes dirt. Amazing. It's almost
disappears.
Magic.
It just disappears.
If you have good live soil.
She gone, it just goes away. Yeah.
Boy, and I have learned from both of you that is just so important, makes such a difference.
It's
life. It's like feeding your body good food.
Yeah.
You know?
You just have to keep doing it, you know, and putting it on. I have this one spot that has been a bindweed problem, and the maple leaves fall real heavy there. Well, I just leave them. And you know what? That bindweed gets smaller and smaller every year.
Yeah, bindweed.
Doesn't like
rich soil.
Rich soil.
And it doesn't like hard pan.
Nope.
And as the worm's working and you're getting rid of the hard pan and your soil's getting richer.
Yep.
So and if you're patient enough, these things disappear.
They go away.
They'll always be a little bit, but a little bit is okay compared to...
Overrun.
Right.
That's what we're working on in my garlic garden up there.
Uh-huh.
How to not be overrun with bindweed. I'm gonna scorch it to death next year.
Well, that sounds kind of radical.
next year, I'm gonna put black plastic, man.
Oh,
I'm
there
just
you
gonna,
go.
I'm just
Cook
gonna
it.
Scorch it to death.
Okay.
It's going to be great. And then I'm going to plant my pumpkins out there, I think, and I'll cut holes in the black plastic and put the plants in. And then when they start to run, I'll cover everything with straw.
Okay, yeah.
So they don't burn.
Do you happen to have pumpkins? I have a friend that wants some pumpkins, that's all.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, I have like...
Oh,
I have
some great pumpkins out there right now.
Oh, my God. I have one that's going to make it turn in color.
Okay.
Yeah, but it feels those, like it could be any time now that you could have one of those nights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's coming to a theater near you.
What about mowing? Are you still mowing, Lance? My grass is growing like crazy still. I mean,
probably two more times.
Two more times, yeah, that sounds.
Yeah. I just mowed mine, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I finally, I could hardly walk through
it. Definitely one more time, and then after that, we'll see what it does.
Kind of play it by ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about transplanting things? Like, this could be a good time of year to plant bulbs.
Oh, yeah. Fall
bulbs.
Fall bulbs.
Yeah. And I think about this as traditionally the time you transplant peonies.
Okay.
And in fact, if you had ordered peonies from a catalog, this is when they'd ship them.
Oh, so
and
traditional or
most... Now, you can do peonies in the spring.
Yeah, you can do it.
You can do
them
whenever you
time.
Need to do it because they're a very hardy plant. But fall's the...
Traditional.
And also that eye. You'll see it. If you dig them up, there's an eye on there where the shoot comes up. That is important to plant that at the same level that you dug it out of. As close to possible.
Right. So if the eye is 2 inches down, you got to plant it two inches down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good tip.
And it's there. Even right now, if you cut them all off and cut the tops off and dug them up, that eye is there for next year.
Okay, good. All right. And some crazy kind of things. We were talking about different things we've seen, that like the fall crocus and, Lulu, you saw some crazy rocks in an arroyo reported them to IC Change, which is a great place to keep track of all these crazy things we see or different things. And I noticed a bunch of woolly worm type bugs crawling over the road between Delta and Hotchkiss. And you've noticed or heard people talking about dead rodents.
I've seen a couple. I saw one in the garden or around my place someplace. No cause of death. No, it wasn't torn up. It was just laying there, curled up. And then a friend was over, and she mentioned she'd seen several, a squirrel and maybe some other rodents. And then the next morning after she was there, was sure enough, was a vole right in one of the garden beds.
Wow.
Just
My cat
wasn't curled up. It was just
dead. Yeah.
Dead,
yeah.
Right on top of the ground.
Yeah. My cats brought in a vole, and I got all excited because, they were doing their job. And then, but I could hardly tell it was a vole because I had eaten so much. but it was. And then I went out to get my truck, and like in a line going down the driveway were these dead baby voles.
Oh my goodness!
Like three of them, boom, boom, boom. I was like, whoa!
Oh my
goodness! And they were babies. They were real small. I mean, they had their fur. They weren't naked still or anything like they are. But there they were.
Interesting.
But that was a while ago. So I don't know. Well, why is everything? I wonder what it is.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Right.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, right? Or not. I mean, this with the dead vole, I thought, oh, yeah, okay. And then when I saw the other three on the driveway, I thought, wow, maybe I shouldn't be like kissing my cats or something. Well, I never kiss my cats anyway because I hate them. But
I count how many times I kiss my cat a day.
And I thought, because you do. You have those weird diseases that go around the tularemia, or however you say it.
Something to be observant about.
Yeah. I wanted to mention something. I grew both snow peas and snap peas for a fall crop. I do it in the spring, too. And just after doing this for several years, I think the snap peas do better as a spring planted because they can handle the heat going into summer to produce more.
Yeah, that
where the snow
stuff.
Peas, they just wither away. But the snow peas, you should see them.
They're loving it
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, uh-huh. On
oh,
two
nice.
Days I've picked 4 pounds. And that's not even
word.
A full row. That's only about 20 feet.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
You know how I am. You know, I like a good pea. So I have the shucking peas,
uh-huh.
You know, and they're doing great, but they're all over the they're not a lot of them all at once.
Uh-huh.
They're just taking their sweet pea
they're
time.
They're taking their sweet pea time.
I've been spraying foliar spray every week the entire summer.
With kelp?
Kelp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I might give up on
the entire
peas.
Summer. Wow.
Or I'm going to do what you said. You know, the late snow pea is the way to go.
Yeah, in July.
Yeah.
Late.
Yeah,
I
plant
like
them
that.
In July. I think that's the way. Because these peas, I mean, they're doing great. I mean, they look fabulous, you know, but you got to, like, really dig to find a couple of pods
right,
that are ready.
Not the abundant crop you're looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Live and learn in the garden.
That's right.
That's what it is.
I love it. It's just observing and enjoying and changing your patterns and
you can't
developing
get,
habits.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing will work 1 year and not the next.
Right.
You just keep
you know,
on trying.
Just keep on trying different stuff.
Yeah. There was one other thing that I did this year that I won't do again next year was I on the peas. It reminded me on the peas. I make these stock fence cages about this big around. Maybe they're 2.5 or 3 feet length, and then I make them into rings. And when the peas come up, I put those down, then I tie string through all of them on posts so that they don't blow over. And this way you don't have to – there's no – trellising, this is the trellis.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I
nice.
Did a double row of those wire rings, and it was fine in the beginning, but when it got taller, I couldn't weed the middle of that row.
Right.
And so I had all these weeds going to seed that I was just pulling heads off,
seed
heads off.
Right.
So what I did with these fall peas is I planted a double row of peas with one row of cage.
Okay.
And it worked really good.
Right. Again, just opening up
that
space for you.
Yeah, just figuring it out. You know what I do is I use, because I do the bush variety, I use, you know, those little green or white little fences.
Border fences.
Accordion fences.
Yeah.
Right? And you make it in a zigzag and you plant in between, you plant that way.
Okay.
So you have this zigzag fence, right? And you go down, down through the zigzags. And the peas and the fence all hold each other up.
Wow,
and
nice.
Yeah, it works like a charm.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know, and it's not, it's just wide enough so that, you know, it's a good size row.
Okay.
But I'm still not getting enough.
Kelp it up next year,
oh,
I think,
man.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming to an end on those kind of things. Yeah,
but
no
as
more
far as kelp.
Well, no more manure tea composting.
Right,
We're just gonna kelp maybe a couple more times, and if it gets really cold and I have some stuff out there, I'll spray them
to help it through the coldness.
Yeah.
And what about watering? Are you watering anything?
I'm watering carrots, cabbage, all the fall greens, the beets.
Yeah.
Those kind of things, but everything else I'm not watering.
Mm-hmm. What about watering your trees and shrubs before the winter?
Yes.
If we don't get some good moisture here pretty soon, you're going to want to,
You right. cut back for a little while right now to get the trees to harden off and grapevines and stuff. But but don't let them go into wood or dry if you can help it.
Okay.
Now,
yeah,
if you get good moisture, you don't
have
to worry
about
it.
You don't have to worry, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So as we go into October, towards the end of October, be thinking about giving
right.
them
we got another
drinks
month
of water
before we have to start worrying about it.
Yeah, I've cut my water in my trees just once a week instead of twice a week.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Great. All right, worms. Well, Lance, your hands are dirty.
These actually don't look too bad.
Give you a few days more out there harvesting. And
I know.
Lulu.
I got the elderberries off.
Oh, I'm going to smell it coming from your kitchen, kind of like Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The picnic baskets.
That's right. And we will be back next week. Yep. And don't forget, you can email your questions at worm@kvnf.org. But until then, I'll say happy gardening. Leah's coming up with One Woman's Perspective on KVNF.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
I don't know who you took.
a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, lowly, low and low.